We do want to welcome you to our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We're very glad of your presence with us tonight. We're looking forward to the meeting, praying for the blessing of God to be upon it. We're going to commence with the words of hymn 621. We love the place of God, wherein thine honour dwells, the joy of thine abode, all earthly joy excels. So it's hymn 621, and we're standing together as we sing, please. Let's just unite our hearts together. We'll seek the Lord and his help for our meeting tonight. Lord, we approach thee in our Saviour's name, thankful that we can call thee and address thee as our Heavenly Father. Want to thank you for enabling us to be here tonight. Want to pray for the power of God to be upon the meeting. We pray, Father, from the very commencement of the gathering, that we'll both know that thou art here and know that your Spirit is at work in our midst. We pray the Spirit will guide us. Your word assures us that he will lead us into all truth. We want to pray, Father, that you'll pour out the Spirit of God upon every part of this meeting tonight. We pray that we'd know his fullness. Pray for the help of the Spirit in the preaching, the ministry of thy word. And Lord, we ask thee to open our eyes that we might behold great and wondrous things from out of thy law. We pray that you'll teach us tonight. We pray for light from heaven. Pray that you might show us things that we've never known before. We pray, Lord, for a fresh challenge, even from the Scriptures. And we want to pray, Father, that the Spirit of God will come down upon the season of prayer. We pray that the time that we spend seeking thee will be a Spirit-filled prayer time. We pray that we'll seek thee tonight in the Holy Ghost. Pray that we'll know the promptings of the Spirit. Pray that he might guide us, bring to our hearts and minds the requests that we should make and the people that we should pray for. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to continue. We acknowledge, Father, the weakness of the flesh. We're mindful of all that are gathered here tonight. We do thank you for your people, their fellowship in the prayer meeting this evening. We thank you for a faithful band of praying people, even as we've been singing together We love the place, O God, wherein thine honour dwells. And Lord, we thank you for those that love the house of prayer, love the throne of grace, love the prayer meeting of the church. Pray that you'll bless each one that's gathered tonight. We want to pray, Father, that each person, every brother and sister, will know your blessing, know your presence, that they would hear your voice. Pray that you might speak to them. We pray that they'll be encouraged for this time that has been set aside, this time that has been given and devoted to attending and supporting the prayer meeting of the church. Lord, bless us all, we ask. Bless us as we come together. We want to ask that you'll be amongst us, that you'll be in the midst. Pray, Father, that you'd give us unity tonight in prayer. You said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done of your Father, which is in heaven. We want to pray, Lord, that you'll bless this work. We want to pray that you'll bless it very clearly. We do think of the seed that has been sown these last few days, all the tracks that have gone forth, and thank you for each one that has been involved in that. We praise thee for willing workers. Remember that Nehemiah could say the people had a mind to work. And Lord, we want to ask that you'll use those tracks. We want to pray, Father, that many will be constrained to read them and spoken to. We want to pray, Father, that there would be a stirring of God. We want to pray that, Lord, that the many that would read them would heed the message and even hasten to Christ. We want to pray, Father, that we'll hear to the encouragement of this congregation. We want to pray that we would hear of those that have sought and found the Savior. And Lord, do remember all our meetings. Remember all our activities. We want to pray that in September, circumstances in the land will allow the meetings to begin again, the children's meetings, the Sunday school, our parent and toddler group, all of those activities. Lord, we look to thee. You're the sovereign God. We're conscious, Father, that all of these details are in your hands. We do pray that you'll guide our governments, guide all in places of responsibility at this time of crisis. Guide them very clearly, but we want to pray, Father, that you'd give to them a fear of God, the fear of God that is the beginning of knowledge. We're saddened by the state of our land spiritually, and Lord, we're conscious that we're in great need of the intervention of God. We want to pray that even through these events that hearts will be spoken to. Lord, how sad it is that after all of these weeks and months that there's so little, if any, talk of the Lord and of our need of your help in these circumstances. So, Lord, we want to cry that you'll move by your Spirit. We want to pray that you will awaken the hearts and minds of men and women. So we ask you just to hear our prayers. We commit the meeting, Father, to thee. We need the leading of the Lord tonight. And we ask just that you'll come and lead us through this service. And Lord, do bless us. Hear our prayers. Bless us indeed. We would cry, make that prayer of Jabez the earnest cry of our hearts at the outset of our gathering tonight. Come and bless each one, and come and bless us in a very clear and definite way. We offer these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this evening is found in the book of Luke, chapter 11. Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter. We're going to read the opening section of the book together. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. That's the first 13 verses that we want to read together. Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter, the first verse. Pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word. The scriptures tell us, and it came to pass that as he, that's our Savior, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Let's each take that petition upon our hearts at the outset of the meeting. pray it will be our experience even through this service tonight. Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Just to highlight to you that there's a difference between the wording of the Lord's Prayer as it's given in Matthew and as it's given here in Luke 11. There's not the ending here, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So just to highlight that for you, we're going on just from verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, the idea of that word is persistence or continuance, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So just ending there, the close of the 13th verse, and we are assured the Lord will follow with his blessing the public reading of his word. I'd like us to think of verse 9, take it as our text this evening. Luke 11, verse 9, and I say unto you, remember these are the words of the Savior himself, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Especially the words ask, and it shall be given unto you. I want us to think for a few minutes to prepare our hearts. We pray, stir and challenge our hearts for the season of prayer tonight. I want us to think of the theme of vital prayer requests. Remember that the Savior himself is speaking here, and the Savior is speaking and teaching on the subject of prayer. It emphasizes, underlines for us the importance of prayer in the life of the child of God. Whenever we think of the Lord Jesus addressing it as at length, as he does here in this passage. So I stress to you, in the light of that, prayer is vital, brethren and sisters. Prayer is vital in the Christian life. It's vital to our well-being, to our spiritual health, to our progress in the Christian life. And what is true for us individually as believers is especially true in the work of God. Prayer is vital for the health of the congregation. Someone once said, looking back, they lamented at the end of their life, that they wish they had prayed more. I'm sure it will be true of all of us. When we approach the end of our days, looking back, we will have certain regrets about life and about the Christian life, but we should be challenged about that, challenged to give ourselves more to the throne of grace, to seeking the Lord in prayer. What I want to stress tonight especially is the importance and the need to be specific, to be definite, to be pointed in the prayers, the requests that we make. The command here of the Saviour in our text, ask and it shall be given you, that is to ask clearly, to ask pointedly. Remember the importance of studying a verse in the context. And if you look at verses 11 and 12, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? So what the Saviour is teaching us here is if you need or want bread, then you ask for bread and bread will be given. If in life you need or you want fish, then you ask clearly, specifically for fish, and that's what will be given to you. The other example is if you need or want an egg, well, then you make a clear request for the egg. So the vital lesson that the Saviour is teaching us here is that you must be definite. You must be specific in the requests, in the petitions. And I want for a few minutes for us in the prayer meeting this evening to consider some vital prayer requests that I'd like you to take upon your heart tonight, that I'd like you to note, consider, particularly for the future, as we think of the work of God here in Armagh, as we look out upon our land and as we consider and assess the condition of the land spiritually. There's some vital prayer requests that we need to make in a very specific way before the Lord. So let me mention those to you. For one thing, we need to ask the Lord to give us opportunities. What we need, brethren and sisters, is opportunities to speak for the Lord. We need opportunities to witness for him. Remember, the Bible teaches very clearly, ye shall be witnesses unto me. So we need opportunities to be a witness. We need opportunities to reach out for the Lord. One of those features of Facebook is people reached. And that should be a challenge to us. We should have a desire to reach men and women, as many men and women as we can. So we need opportunities to reach out for Christ. Sadly, there's a dearth in the land. The land, as we look out upon it spiritually, is dry. It's barren. There's what Amos described as a famine that's taking place. We live in days of a spiritual famine. It's a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. Sadly, people don't want to hear, even in our own community. People don't want to hear the Word of God. Very few interested in listening to the message of the gospel. So what we need, brethren and sisters, is open doors to present the message of Christ and him crucified. Do you remember that great text that is penned in the book of the Revelation in connection with the church at Philadelphia? The Lord could say to that church, I have set before thee an open door. And the Lord promised that if he opened the door, that no man could shut it. So I want to say to you tonight, brethren and sister, I want to urge you to pray that the Lord would do that for us here in the congregation in Armagh. Pray that the Lord would open doors, open opportunities, doors wide open that no one else can shut, doors for the presentation of the gospel. And remember, the psalmist exhorts us, open thy mouth wide. The idea behind that text is, when you come to pray, come to make requests of the Lord, that you should be bold in those requests. You should make big requests, offer big petitions. So as you think of asking the Lord or praying for open doors, ask the Lord for new opportunities to be given to us as a congregation. Ask the same for yourself personally, for the Lord to give you new opportunities to serve him. But let's pray for
new opportunities in the congregation. Ask the Lord to do something for us that has never happened before. Never happened maybe in the history of this congregation from the very beginning. Maybe that the Lord would give us a new opportunity that has never been presented even to the whole free church in all the years of its history. And even to take that a step further, not just to pray for new opportunities, but pray for big opportunities for the presentation of the gospel. Do you remember what Paul wrote to the Corinthians? He was talking about his work in Ephesus, and he said, "A great door and effectual is open unto me." So pray for big opportunities, brethren and sisters, for you personally, in your own life, your own service. Pray the Lord will give us big opportunities as a church. Think of how Paul described it there. A great door. May the Lord be pleased to give it to us. He says it's an effectual door. The blessing of God was resting very, very clearly upon it. Think of what Paul said as well to the Colossian believers. He spoke about a door of utterance. In other words, he's talking there about an opportunity to speak. That's what a door of utterance is. An opportunity to speak for the Lord. And how is such a door to be opened, brethren and sisters? How is such an opportunity to be given? Well, the answer of the Word of God is by prayer. We're to request it. We're to plead with God. We're to wrestle with God for such opportunities to be presented. That's the context of what Paul was saying there to the Colossians. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. So note what he says, that new opportunities to speak, that's something that God does. It's something that God provides, that God would open unto us. So we need to pray. We need to get our eyes on the Lord. We need to lift our hearts to heaven. We need to pray for the Lord to open doors to us to speak for him. Remember the challenge of James? We have not because we ask not. The reason that those opportunities aren't forthcoming, aren't presenting themselves to us, is because we haven't pleaded, we haven't sought the Lord for them as we should. And as you think of an opportunity, even individually, maybe in the remaining days of this week, to be a witness, to say something for the Lord, think of that little poem that's penned in the form of a prayer. "Lead me to some soul today, and teach me, Lord, just what to say." So we need to pray, brethren and sisters, the Lord will give us opportunities. Need to pray as well that the Lord will give us utterance. Paul spoke there about a door of utterance. Well, we need to ask the Lord to give us that utterance. Do you remember what the book of Acts records concerning Philip the evangelist when he went down to the city of Samaria, went among the Samaritans? It says he opened his mouth and preached unto them Jesus. Often that's the hardest thing to do. Just think of it, just to open our mouth, to say something for the Lord, to testify to others for him, to speak a word in witness, in presentation of the gospel. By way of contrast, and it's a sad contrast, sometimes we don't find it as difficult to open our mouths to criticize or to murmur. We need to pray the Lord will give us the utterance that is needed to open our mouths to present and to preach the gospel. You think of witnessing, been out on the doors. You can be asked all sorts of questions. People can present you with all sorts of statements, all sorts of situations. And we fear, we all of those fears, that we'll not know what to say. We'll not know how to respond to those challenges, to the questions that people have. So we need to pray, ask the Lord to give us the utterance that is needed. You think of Paul's specific request to that end that he made to the Ephesian believers and for me, thinking of himself, his ministry, his great missionary labors and endeavors, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me to make known the mystery of the gospel. That word utterance is the idea of liberty, liberty to speak. freedom of speech, being able to speak freely, readily, easily. And the lesson there, brethren and sisters, that we need to ask for it. It's something that is given an answer to prayer. We need to pray that the Lord will bestow it upon us, as he did for his servant Paul those many years ago. You think of men like Moody and Spurgeon. Well, they needed that utterance as well. And if they needed it, well, how much more do we not need it in our labors for the Master? Some of you will be familiar that Mr. Paisley, almost every time he signed his autograph, he put below his name those verses in Ephesians 6, and for me that utterance may be given unto me. That was his prayer. He was resting entirely upon that for his ministry as well. You think of Moses. So often we feel like Moses. When the Lord called him, the Lord commissioned him, Moses protested to the Lord, and one of the protests that he gave was, "I cannot speak." Do you remember that he said to the Lord, I'm not eloquent, I'm slow of speech. Some of the commentators reckon when he said slow of speech, he was indicating that perhaps he had some form of stoppage. But remember the Lord's command to Moses, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." That's a great promise, brethren and sisters. Note it, claim it tonight. It's Exodus 4, verse 12. The Lord says, "Go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." Arthur Pink, he was a noted preacher, Bible commentator. That was a verse the Lord gave to him in the early years of his ministry. In fact, it challenged him, encouraged him so much, he wrote it into the very front of his own copy of the Word of God. You think of Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet, when the Lord called him, he said to the Lord, "I'm a man of unclean lips." The idea of those words is the prophet saying to the Lord, "I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy to open my mouth. I'm unworthy to speak, to say a word, to deliver a message for thee." And the reality is we all feel like that. Do you remember what the Lord did? Whenever Isaiah raised that protest to the Lord said, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." And brethren and sisters, we need that same experience. What did Isaiah receive? The touch of God. The touch of God upon his mouth. The touch of God upon his lips. So I want to encourage you tonight to pray for that. The words of the hymn writer sums it up well for us. The idea of the thought that we're seeking to present. "Fill me, O Lord, with thy desire for all who know not thee. Then touch my lips with holy fire to speak of Calvary." Remember how much you speak, how you say it is as important as what you say. It's important to highlight that and to stress that. Paul said to the Ephesians, speaking the truth, and that's what's needed. Needed in the church, needed in the land, needed in the days in which we live, we're to speak the truth. But he emphasizes that we're to do it in love. Sometimes we overlook that. We can be very harsh, very uncaring in the manner in which we speak to others and present the message of God. So speaking the truth in love, how you speak, how you say it, is as important as what you say. There's other examples of that in the scriptures. Paul said to the Colossians, "Let your speech be always with grace." In other words, speak kindly, speak understandingly, speak graciously. Do you remember those words of the Saviors that were referring to the Lord Jesus that we considered a couple of Sabbath mornings ago? The gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. So we need to use such language. We need to use words that are compassionate. We need to use words that are loving and gracious. So let's pray. As we're praying for utterance, pray the Lord will give us the right tone, the right attitude as well as we speak to others. Something else we need to ask the Lord to give us, not just opportunities and utterance. We need to pray the Lord will give us power. Think of the question, what is missing? What is lacking today in the land, lacking today in the life of the church? Well, the answer is we have no power. We don't have the power of God resting upon our meetings, resting upon the witnesses of the church as once we did. Remember, like Samson, he lost the power that God had given to him. And Samson, there's a picture. He's a type of the church. If we're honest today, we find ourselves in exactly the same position. You think of the words of Luke 24, verse 49. It's a key verse. It's a key verse for the Christian. It's a key verse, especially for those involved in the work of God. It's a key verse in any study of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus said there, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." The promise of the Father is the outpouring, the fullness, the power of the Holy Ghost. But the Lord Jesus went on to say, "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." What the Lord's teaching there is, there's a great need of power in the life of the church. He had given them the commission to go forth, but they were not to go forth in obedience to that commission until they had the power of God to carry out the work. There's a great need of power, a great need of the power of the Holy Ghost. Remember, it is your greatest need as a servant of Christ in the days in which we live, if we're going to live the Christian life in victory as we ought. And you get that power, the Savior's teaching us here, by waiting. He said, "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." You get the power by waiting. You get it by prayer. You need to wait for it at the throne of grace. You need to plead with God to give it to you. And the question for us is, are you willing? Willing to do that? Willing to pay the price? Willing to devote the time that is necessary and keep on praying until the power of God comes down? You think of Micah the prophet in the Old Testament. He said, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin." He had a very difficult ministry. He had to go forth to the Jewish people and declare God's message, to declare unto Jacob his transgression, to speak about their sin, to preach against their sin, and to Israel his sin. So how did he do that, brethren and sisters? By the power of God. He teaches us here the sort of Christian that we need to be, full of power, full of might, full of the Holy Ghost. You think of Peter on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls saved. Just take a moment to ponder that. Isn't it staggering to think of that? That in one day, following one meeting, 3,000 people were won to Jesus Christ in salvation. Why was there such an effect? Why was there such a result? Why was it that that day such numbers of people were saved and converted? Well, there's only one answer. It was by the power of God resting upon his ministry. The verse says, it's verse 4 of the chapter, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So you ask tonight, how do you get such power? Well, the Bible's very clear in the answer it gives. There's only one way to get it, men and women, by prayer. You get it in the prayer meeting. Remember, at Pentecost, they had been praying earnestly, persistently. In fact, they'd been in the prayer meeting for a period of 10 days. That's how persistent they had been and pleading for the promise of the Father to be fulfilled. If you look at the verse 13, the final verse that we read in the passage this evening, it says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Notice those words especially. Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. That's a very important verse, very important statement. So, brethren and sisters, we need to be in prayer. Need to be in the prayer meeting. need to be praying specifically, plainly, clearly, asking God to give to us the Holy Spirit, give to us the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, it's interesting, if you read some of the printed messages, sermons of men like Moody and Torrey, sometimes as you're reading through some of those messages, they seem quite plain, they seem quite ordinary. But remember that they were greatly used, those messages were greatly used in their day. And the thing that made the difference to those messages was the power of God. They were quickened, they were anointed in the preaching of them by the power of the Holy Ghost. You think again, for practical matter, witnessing to others in day-to-day life, maybe your neighbor in the place of work, or if you're out in the doors, there's times we can be afraid. We can be afraid to go out. We can be afraid to speak, afraid to witness. What you need is help. You need power. You need boldness. That's the way that you overcome that fear. And you get that power and that boldness through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So we need power, brethren and sisters. We need to ask God clearly to give us power. One other thing I'll mention is we need to ask the Lord to give us souls. The reality is these are barren times. They're not times of harvest. They're not times of great soul winning, great ingathering of souls to the church. Like the disciples, when they were out fishing on the Sea of Galilee, we have toiled all the night and we've caught nothing. We've worked hard and long and there's been very little fruit, very little results to show for it. So we need to pray. We need to make that a matter of prayer. We need to pray for souls. Souls to be saved. Souls to be won. Notorious souls. Notorious sinners. Those that are known in this community even for their sin, that God would make them into trophies of grace. Pray even for whole families to be saved, as it was in the days of the New Testament. Remember that the jailer in Philippi believed with all his house. So pray for souls to be saved. We don't want people just to hear the message, and that's good and important. But we want them also to heed the message of the gospel, the great exhortation, the great invitation of the gospel. Do you remember Paul's prayer in the book of Romans? My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He's pleading there with God. And he's pleading there with God for souls. He's pleading with the Lord especially for souls to be saved. And he sets us a great example in that regard. And we can pray the same for this city or wherever town or community you live in. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Armagh is that they might be saved. They might be one to Christ. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Northern Ireland in these days is that God might come in salvation, blessing. Think of the words of the psalmist. Just two little words. Save, Lord. It's not a clear, specific prayer. There's another one in Psalm 118 that's quite similar. Save now. So that's clear, brethren and sisters. That's short, specific praying. A short, specific request. And I want to urge you to pray like that. Lord, save. Save now. Save my family. Save my loved ones. Save them now. Save my neighbors. Save my friends. You think of George Whitefield. What a study his life is. I commend it to you if you've never had the opportunity before to read the life of the great evangelist. Remember that our college is named in honor and memory of the great evangelist. Can I remind you of the great prayer that he was known for? Give me souls or take my soul. Can you feel the burden there on his heart? Think of John Knox, a similar prayer as he thought of his beloved land of Scotland. Give me Scotland or else I die. What passion, what pleading there was for souls. So brethren and sisters, we need to pray in that manner. Pray for souls. We need to learn to pray like that. Wrestle with God for the souls of our families, the souls of our communities, and the souls of our land. Remember Daniel? It says, in right at the beginning of Daniel chapter 12, they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever, going to shine as the stars forever and ever. Just think of the words, they that turn many to righteousness. That's a reference to soul winning, to the work of the soul winner. And he doesn't say they that turn a few. Think of the scope, they that turn many. So take that in your heart tonight and ask the Lord to make you such a soul winner, such a servant of his, that you turn many to Christ in salvation. Do you remember what is said of Barnabas, the great encourager of the New Testament church? He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. What a testimony. What a blessing it is to remember him in that manner. What an impact his life had, brethren and sisters. Much people was added unto the Lord. So be challenged by that tonight. And pray the Lord might use you, use your life, use your efforts in a similar way. Think as well of the words of Psalm 126. He that goeth forth rejoicing, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So ask the Lord, in the light of that, the great soul-winning promise there of the psalmist, ask the Lord to give you sheaves. You need to be definite about that. Ask the Lord for souls. Ask the Lord for a harvest of souls. Ask the Lord to give to you in your life and in your service the joy of the soul winner. So I stress to you, just as we close tonight, we must, in our prayers, brethren and sisters, be clear. We must be definite in the requests and the petitions that we bring. And here are some vital prayer requests for the future of the work of God. Ask the Lord to give us opportunities. Ask the Lord to give us utterance. Ask the Lord to give us power. And ask the Lord to use us in the winning of souls. We need very specifically to plead with God about these things. If we want the tide to turn in this land, and if we want the Lord's work to advance again in coming days. The text says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So may the Lord bless his word tonight to all our hearts.